Take your Bible, if will, tonight to the book of Nahum. The book of Nahum, very easy to find, right between Micah and Habakkuk. You can't miss it. So the book of Nahum, if you will. And we'll be there in just a little bit, since it may take you a while to find it, especially if you're going to the table of contents. Oh, mercy. No, you're supposed to know it by now, Brother Charles. You're not supposed to have to refer to the table of contents. Oh, mercy. I get after kids in school to learn the books of the Bible, you know. We'll have to send you back there. I've had this little piece right here laying around my desk at my study. Been meaning to bring it and read it. It's entitled The Amazing Mexican Free-Tailed Bat. And I want you to listen closely, all right? The largest community of mammals in one space spends the summer in Bracken Cave outside San Antonio, Texas. There are 20 million female Mexican free-tailed bats raise their 20 million pups, gulping down 150 tons of insects every night. The bats winter in Mexico and mate in the spring. Then for some reason unknown to scientists, the females head to Texas. While they make the difficult migration, the females store the male sperm in suspended animation. Once settled in at Bracken Cave, they become pregnant. 4 months later, each has a single pup. Although the cave's one-room nursery has 20 million noisy pups, a mother bat can find her own youngster in as little as 12 seconds. At night, each female leaves the cave and flies as far as 60 miles, consuming as much as her total body weight in insects. After about 5 hours, she returns to the cave to nurse her pup. The bat's normal diet does not provide enough fat for the mother bat's rich milk. But the nursing period also just happens to fall at the same time that an ant that is a rich source of fat grows wings. These flying ants are available in the bat's airspace at just the right time. Someone has remarked that God must like bats a lot. He made more species of bats than any other mammal, and he has designed nature to provide for all the bats' needs. Now, the world will tell you all of that came about through evolution. But there's no way evolution can explain those details that all have to fall together at just the right time in just the right place. They've been shoving evolution down our throats for better than 50 years. But yet, it's amazing how many people still understand and believe that that's a lot of hooey, all right? That what we have is because God made it. He put everything together. He put every animal on this earth, and he put them there. I'm just like you. I don't know why he made mosquitoes, but he did, all right? But it's amazing. I would strongly encourage you, you know, some of you waste a lot of time on the Internet. Well, if you'd go to David Cloud's website, that's where I got that little blurb. He puts out a Friday news note And every Friday there's a little deal, and it's several things, and at the end of it, there's always something to slap evolution in the mouth, all right? And so I really enjoy it. That's if you want to go there, it's www.wayoflife.org, okay? Or if you just Google Way of Life Literature, it'll take you there, wayoflife.org, okay? And so if you just do it, you'll find it interesting. I always try to do it every Friday. I'll flip to that, and I like to read that Friday news notes. So give you something to think about besides the doom and gloom that's in the news. All right. Anybody still looking for Nahum? Praise the Lord, we're there. All right. I want you to look with me. Nahum chapter 1, begin reading in verse 1. The Bible said, "The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him." Boy, would you just think about that. The Lord's coming at us with all of that. But then we get to verse 7. Verse 7. "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." Knoweth them that trust in him. Now, I want to tell you, I don't mind preaching against sin. I don't mind standing against all that the world stands for. As a matter of fact, I kind of enjoy standing against all that the world stands for. I don't mind pointing out where we miss the mark with God. But all that said, every now and then, it's just good to go to the Word of God, and as a believer, and find some truth that'll just put a smile on your face. And man, I get here in Nahum, and that's it. It's good to go to his word and find those truths that'll comfort us and lift us above the problems and the perplexities of this whole world. It's good to get there, all right? And our text, I think, that does that for us tonight. I want you to just look. We're going pretty much be right here. We'll go to another verse or two, but I want you to notice three very simple truths that ought to cause us to pause, rejoice, maybe shout a little bit, get excited about, and find some comfort tonight, okay? Look with me, if you will. First of all, the Bible said the Lord is good. He forevermore is. He is good. You say, somebody said, God is good all the time. And he is all the time. The truth of the matter is that word good, or that word Lord in all caps. Notice in your Bible, is that the way it is? Lord's in all caps. That distinguishes exactly who we're talking about. Exactly who we're talking about. We're talking about Jehovah God. We're talking about the creator of life. We're talking about the sustainer. We're talking about he who is the protector and the provider for his people. That's the one we're talking about, right? He's the real God, if you will, of the universe. All the other so-called gods are little g gods, all right? They're just maybe so wannabes but can't measure up and never will, all right? There's none to compare to him. As a matter of fact, Isaiah said, beside him, there's none else. There is none else. And the distinguishing thing about our God is he is good. I want you to think about it. Everything about our God is good. Think about this. His disposition is good. Do you know people that their disposition is kind of a little iffy, a little sketchy, and you never do know exactly how it's going to be when you get around them because their disposition is up and down, everything? Hey, I want you to notice our God's disposition is good. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? I mean, we, for one thing, we don't have to appease him before we approach him. We don't have to appease him. We don't have to look in and see what kind of day he's having. Because our God's good, all right? As a matter of fact, the Bible says we can just come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? Because we got a good God. His very nature is good. I was studying and got right here and studying, and I began to think about it. Hey, it almost sounds like, you know, I'm trying to convince you that he is good. We don't have to do that. Take your Bible to Psalms, Psalm 34. Now stay with us here in Nahum. It's hard enough to find. We don't want you to take too long every time we come back, all right? Now just look in Psalm 34. Look, if you will, in verse 8. The Bible says, oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, just taste it, all right? All right. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Hey, I don't need to convince you God's good. All I need to tell you to do is you try it out. You taste and see, you'll find out for yourself he's good. You just put it to the test. You give it to it, you know. You don't need to take my word for it. You give him a good try. Anybody who gives him a legitimate chance is going to see the truth of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Now, he's not a genie that you rub and get out of a bottle that does your commands. He's God. He's God. And because of that, sometimes we have to back up a little bit and look, because sometimes we get the idea and the thought, well, he's only good if he's doing what I want him to do. But that's not true. The truth of the matter is, look how many there are here tonight. If God did what each one of us wanted him to do, some of those things would conflict. Because there might be somebody wanting him to do this thing and somebody over here wanting to do just the opposite. And so we want to decide on the definition of good based upon our point of view. But it's not based on my view or your view. It's just the fact you got to give him that opportunity. You taste and see, you'll find that the Lord is good. Now, I'll say some more about some of this a little bit later. He puts us through some things. And we may think when we're going, well, this ain't good. But down the road, you find out it was good. All right? The Lord is good. He's good all the time. We've got a God that's good. His disposition is wonderful. We don't have to appease him. You know, you can go to him at any time, come boldly unto him, and get a hearing from God. It's a good God that we serve. But that's not all that Nahum 1:7 says. That second part says he a stronghold in the day of trouble. A stronghold in the day of trouble. Now, a stronghold, the truth of the matter is a stronghold is useless for the most part, except in the day of trouble. That's when we want it. We've got folks in our world today that are called, I think they're called preppers. And they would tell you that they're, you know, I don't think I'd ever heard of them, and I happened to see something somewhere and got to looking and reading. I thought, man, you got to be kidding. But these people, they have built bunkers. And some of them are dug in. They could withstand the bombing, you know. And they've supplied those bunkers, and they've put food and water there, and they're ready to go. And in a moment, they could take off for their bunker. I was watching this thing one time. This guy, they had to get to theirs by boat. But they always keep things ready. So at a moment's notice, the whole family in the boat, off to the bunker. That bunker's useless. There's no trouble. It does no good. Cost you a ton of money. Ton of money. You know, and you may have it outfitted. It may do it, all of that. But it serves no purpose if there's no trouble. But now it's all right. Us humans, we get into enough trouble so we can appreciate a bunker, all right? You know, we're able to work ourselves into trouble. But the Bible says that he is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Stronghold's a place of safety. It is a place of safety. It's a hiding place, if you will. It's a place you can go to and find protection. That's that stronghold, all right? It's a stronghold. You get to it. I mentioned this one bunker that he talked about. They had to get in a boat. Now, they're very careful, if you're watching those things, not to let you know where their bunker is. All right? But I don't mind telling you where mine is. All right? The stronghold is our Lord. All right? But hey, we flee to him when we're pursued. When we're pursued, when we get in trouble, and maybe somebody's after us, the enemy. The enemy gets after you. You get in those points, you say, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. Well, there's where to turn. Turn to God. Turn to him. Seek him. You can flee to him, all right? Hey, when the enemy's after you, it's a marvelous thing to have a stronghold to flee to. Marvelous thing to have a stronghold to flee to. I've had somebody talk, some family member saying, hey, we need to build a tornado shelter. And said, well, to get together and build one. And I thought, wouldn't do me any good. I'd be on the front porch looking for the tornado. When it came, I wouldn't be in the bunker, you know. When we need that stronghold to flee to, we've got that. What a wonder it is. Whether the enemy's the world, the whole world gets after you sometimes. The world gets after you. Look, when we're talking about fleeing, it's not necessarily because there's a mob chasing you, all right? But the world sometimes weighs pretty heavy on you. You look for a place to go to find some relief. Now, you need to learn to go to God. Had a fellow call me today and said, I want some advice about how to maintain. He said, I'm concerned about my walk with God. It hasn't been what it should be. He said, I want some advice on that. Hey, look, one of the things you learn to do is you always be looking for God. You're always looking for him. You've got problems coming up. Don't go to the bank to get the help. You go to God to get the help, all right? Sometimes it's the world that oppresses you. Sometimes the devil himself gets after you. And he comes with temptation, all right? He comes after you and you feel like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, don't stand around and eyeball the temptation. Go to the Lord. Go to that stronghold, all right? Go to that stronghold. Seek him out. Find him. Go there. And then wait until the trouble is past. Wait until the trouble is past. My wife and I got married, 44 years ago this May. Is that right? All right, 44 years ago this May. We left here, we drove on our honeymoon, and because marriage is so tiring, as far as we got was when we left late, we got to Wichita Falls. We checked in the motel. We're checking into that motel. And I talked, and that lady said, now there's a possibility we'll get tornado warnings. And said, if you hear one, she said, just come here. You can go to the basement. And I thought, that'd be my luck. Sure enough, man, we gone to the room. Hadn't been there very long. Hear the tornado siren going off. He said, oh, what a terrible thing. Well, we had somewhere to go. If I'd have been at home, we'd have just got in the closet, I guess. But we went down in the basement. Wonderful place to spend your honeymoon. In the basement of a, you know, motel. And you have people down there with you that you don't know. Never seen them before in your life, all right? I don't know what possessed one of them to say, wouldn't it be terrible if you was on your honeymoon? Hey, but we had a place to flee to, all right? I'm going to tell you, in this old life, troubles come. Troubles come. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. You're going to face some troubles. They're going to come. They're going to show up. Well, the place to go is to Him. Learn to go to the Lord, all right? Look, if you will, Psalm 46. Psalm 46. That is the place to go. We can count on trouble. You say, well, I'm going to try to avoid trouble. Good idea. I think you should. But you're going to stumble over some of it, whether you're hunting for it or not. It's going to be there. But boy, what a truth we have here in Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Hey, what? We've got a place. We've got a place to go to, all right? We've got a refuge. We've got a strength. We've got a stronghold. We're to go to Him. That's the God that we serve, okay? You know, some people talk about, well, God is way up there, you know, and He doesn't care about man or all that. Not our God. Not the God we serve. The God we serve is a stronghold in the day of trouble. And in the day of trouble, we can be shut up with God. Be with Him. I just want to tell you, I'd rather be shut up with Him, wherever that is, He is, than to be in the basement of the motel in the time of trouble. I shut up with a bunch of people you don't know. I'd rather be there with Him. That's our God. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Hey, He's good. And He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. But notice that other thing there in verse 7 of Nahum 1. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. He knoweth them. You get over in the book of Genesis in chapter 16, in verse 13, you have the experience of Hagar, who was the handmaid for Sarah. And she was basically tossed out of Abraham and Sarah's house, along with her son. But she said this in verse 13. She called the Lord, this was her name, Thou God seest me. Now some people would rather God not see them. But I tell you what, it's a good thing to know He does see you. All right? Good thing to know He sees you. But can I say this to you? There's something better than just the fact that He sees you. That's the fact that He knows you. He knows you. All right? He the Bible says He knows you're down sitting and you're uprising. He knows your name. He knows your name. I mean, we see that He called Zacchaeus by name in Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus climbed up sycamore tree to see the Lord. When the Lord came by, God walked over there where He was. He looked up. He didn't say, hey, you there. Come out here, feller. He didn't say that. He didn't say, hey, what's your name? Yep, get on down here. No, He said, Zacchaeus, you come down. He knew him. He knew him by name. He knows you by name. He knows you by name. There's not too many of us that at some point in time have not forgotten the name of somebody we knew. And we're going, Hey, you, what's your face? Yeah, you're the one. We used to talk about you with the hair on your head. Not you, Baldy. Hey, God knows our name. God knows our name. You think about that. He knows you by name. You're not just, you're a number with the government, but you're not just a number with God. You're an individual whom he knows. He knows you. The Bible says he knoweth them that trust in him. You know, so how well does he know me? Well, once again, back to Psalm 139. Would you turn there? Psalm 139. So you say he knows me. What's that? Well, here it is. Psalm 139, look in verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. I'm telling you, he knows you. He knows you. The Bible said he knows your thoughts. Knows your thoughts. You'd get in trouble with your boss if that boss knew your thoughts all the time. Hey, but he knows your thoughts. He knows your ways. Notice he said he's acquainted with all my ways. He knows you. He knows you. I mean, all that there. He knows your condition. He knows what's going on with you. Now, we serve a God that is interested in us as individuals. It not just the mob scene. You know, I'm glad that the Bible says, for God so loved the world, but I'm so glad that God so loved me. Me. I'm glad. He knows, I believe, the parameters of your faith. The parameters of your faith. That's what Nahum 1 says. He knoweth them that trust in him. He knows the parameters. He knows how much you trust him. There's a lot of people, I think, that talk about trusting God. But boy, when you really kind of look and see, they really don't trust him very much. Job in Job chapter 13, verse 15 said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, I trust him. Now, I believe God knows the parameters of your faith. You may not have that much faith in God. You may not say, as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I'll tell you this, God knows how much you trust him. And he knows those that trust in him, all right? Now, those that trust in him, that's his children. Okay, that's his children. You got in the family of God when you trusted him as your Savior. And the Bible said he knows you. He knows your ways. He knows your thoughts. Knows your down sitting, your uprising. Hey, you can't get away from him. You're there. He knows you, all right? But can I say this to you? The amazing truth is that he knows us and loves us in spite of that knowledge. You hear philosophers, you know, people talk about philosophers just, you know, thinking about something. What is the meaning of life and all that? You want something to ponder. You sit down with a mirror, look at it and think, why in the world does God love me? Why does he love me? I'm glad there's a song in the songbook that says, I'm so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. But this is the dearest. That Jesus loves me. Loves me. Every one of us can say that. In spite of the fact that he knows us. Did you ever meet somebody, you liked them until you got to know them? Then they weren't so enjoyable anymore? Maybe something you found out, something they did kind of grated on your nerves. I've got kinfolks. They're easier to love from a distance. The greater the distance, the easier it is to love them. Hey, but God loves us in spite of the fact that He knows us. He knows all about us. He still loves us. And without any reservation, all right? Now, I'll tell you this. I believe that His love reveals the depths of His goodness. The depths of His goodness is revealed by how much He loves us. Just a good God that loves us. I mean, how many times do we disappoint Him? How many times do we let Him down? But the Bible said He loves us, all right? He loves us. And He's good to us. He's good to us, all right? And it's because of that love that that stronghold is ever ready for you to enter in and find peace and safety and rest. Why? Because of that goodness and the goodness of His love, all right? That stronghold's always there. The truth of the matter is God is everything and more than you and I could ever imagine. I didn't tarry too long about the point of the Lord is good. I said, why? Because I know there's no way in the world I can cover the subject. Can't do it, all right? But I'll say this, it's good to be His child. Good to be His child. I'm going to say something to you, even His chastening is good. Even His chastening is good. You know, sometimes people, they get mad when they get chastened. Get upset. A lot of kiddos that deal with in a Christian school, they resent being told what to do. Well, God chastened you and me. Here's what Hebrews 12:11 says. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. You can get an amen right there. But grievous. Amen again. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Even the chastening of our God is good. Now, I didn't say you enjoy it, but it's good because it comes from a good God, and His chastening is for a purpose. It is to help us, and afterward, the Bible said, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Wonderful thing. That's what happens. Why? Because we've got a good God. That good God chastens us. We need to hang on to that fact. It's good. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not looking for some peace and some pill. I'm not looking for bliss at the bottom of a bottle. Not at all. I'm looking to Him. I'm looking to Him. Why? He's good. He's good. A fellow give you that pill would kill you. A fellow that would talk you into taking the bottle doesn't care about you. But God's good. I'm looking to Him. Hey, He's good. He's going to provide for us. I'm looking to Him. He's a stronghold. When I get in trouble, I don't looking for a needle to stick in my arm. I don't look for a pill or a bottle to drink. No, I'm looking for Him. He's the stronghold. I want to go there and get what I need. Hey, because when I get there, it's not going to be, hey, could you let me in? I won't hear anybody say, well, who are you? No, He knoweth. He knoweth them and trust in Him. Hey, when you go to that stronghold, you don't have to worry about somebody saying, huh, let me look on the list. No. He welcome you in, okay? Good God. Good God. Rejoice in that fact. Will there be trouble? You can count on it. Sure, there's going to be trouble in this whole world. But we've got a stronghold to go to. Got a stronghold to go to. We got some people in this world not going to treat you right. But God's good. God is good. When you don't know anything, you realize He does. He does. I want to encourage you to go to Him. Go to Him. Learn to rest in the Lord. Learn to build that relationship. Put it in practice. You know, you're preached to, you're taught, and don't just take what comes by and let it go by. Grab a hold of it and put it into practice. Get to know the one that died for you. Know Him. Rest and secure in the fact you can go to Him no matter what and find what you need. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray You just help us tonight. Lord, we come to this book of Nahum. And Lord, we read about the fierceness of Your wrath and Your revenge. Lord, then we come to verse 7. God is good. Lord, we don't have to prove that to anybody because we can taste and see that it's true. Lord, help us to do that. Help us learn to flee to You, that stronghold in a time of trouble. Lord, resting assured that You know us. We're not a stranger to You.